Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. You know, there are some verses in the Bible that are not easy to understand. Did you know that? Ever read the Bible and went, what? Excuse me, come again. And then you read it again. Nope, still nothing. and then you try to find out, you know, what does this mean? And then maybe you look some explanation up and then you go like, nah, I'm still pretty clueless what that means. That didn't really help me. You know, there are just some things in the Bible that are not that easy to understand. But there are some things, it doesn't matter who you are, how young you are, how much of the Bible you know, they're just very, very clear. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Very clear, you don't need any interpretation, you don't need to write a book on it, you don't need to read a commentary, very clear. Jesus said, nothing is impossible for him that believes. There, you don't need any explanation of that. You don't need any commentary. In fact, most commentaries you'll read will probably just sow a lot of doubt in your heart. Well, Jesus didn't really mean that and all that. There are just something. Aren't you glad? So if there are some things in the Bible you don't understand, just keep reading and just stick with the ones that you do get because they're pretty awesome. And then the Lord will show you all the other ones. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Mark chapter 4. That's where we left off last time. Every time, when I prepare for a sermon, I'm thinking, yeah, I can do that in one Sunday. And then it turns out to be three or so. So I don't know what that tells you about my ability to prepare. But praise the Lord. Let's just blame it on the Holy Spirit, okay? Well, praise the Lord. But in Mark chapter 4, actually, this is a very interesting day. We talked about that Jesus started to teach something very important. We said it's the teaching of all teachings. It's the parable of all parables. It's the thing that unlocks all the other things that Jesus said. He tells them this parable of the sower. And let's just read that. He starts in Mark 4 and verse 2. It says, he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. The birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So Jesus tells them this parable, and he says this is the parable of all parables, because later when the disciples asked him about it, he said, if you don't get this, how will you get all the other parables? He said, if you don't understand this, I don't even have to keep talking. But this is a very interesting day that we're reading about here. That day, if you look into the other Gospels and if you study that a little bit, Jesus told about 10 parables that day. He was teaching them about 10 parables about how the kingdom works, about the kingdom of God. And of those 10, 7 said, the kingdom of God is like a seed. And here he says, you know, it's the sower who went out to sow. And we started looking at this last time. And it's really, really cool because we also saw that this is the key to live by faith. Because the Bible says when the seed is sown, the earth will know what to do with it. The earth will take it and it will bring forth fruit just by itself. The Greek word is automatically, automatos. It is just automatically something's going to happen. It's not something we need to produce in our own strength. But what we need to do is we need to have the seed. We need to put the right thing into the earth so it can produce the right thing. And then Jesus, you know, he explains. And in verse 14, he says, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So we looked at the first explanation, you know, last time, you know, we said that, you know, there are some people that they hear the word, and if you hear the word but you don't understand the word, it's very easy for Satan to steal it, and he wants to steal it. He wants to steal the word out of your heart. Why? Because he knows the word in your heart, once it produces fruit, it will produce faith and healing and joy and peace and happiness and all these wonderful things, the things that we want. So the devil tries to take it away. But the Bible says all these things will happen automatically. You don't have to sit in the service and just go like, okay, I need to be at peace now. I need to be joyful now. I need to be in faith now. Because they said so. That's not the way it works. Is you put the seed of the word of God in your heart and it will produce. Now here's the thing. When you sow something, I hope so. You're not standing there. You sow a seed, you water it a little bit, and then you look at it, and then you, in the next 5 minutes, you just expect something to pop out of the ground. I hope that's not what you do. That's usually what little children do, you know, when they learn something, when they learn in school about the importance of, or how it works. You sow a seed, and then they're like, when is it going to happen? Let's go to bed. Let's see if something, you know, is there tomorrow. And if not, well, okay, let's wait another night, another day, you know. It takes some time. So you have to sow the word. The Bible says you have to water the word. Jesus said he wants us to stay, to abide in his word. This is how it works. You sow it, you water it, you just fill yourself with the word of God. And then that word in your heart, under the right circumstances and the right conditions, will produce things just effortlessly, just automatically. You don't have to do anything. It happens in your heart automatically. But the thing you do have to do is you have to fill yourself with the word. You have to hear the word. You have to abide in his word. This is how Jesus says it works. So we looked at the first one, and now today I want to look at the second one. It says there are some people, the word is sown, a stone on stony ground. That is, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves. And so they endure only for a time, and afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So this is talking about those people, they hear the word, and they receive it. They receive it. They don't just sit there like, oh yeah, you know, by the way, yeah, okay, great, praise the Lord. No, they receive it, and not just that, they receive it with gladness. They're happy. They hear the word. They like it. They love it. They receive the word, and they are just happy about it. But that alone will not help them. It says the word, yes, they received it, and they received it with gladness, but they had no root. And this is something that we see. And what I want to do now is I want to pick on Christians again, because this is what I like to do. I pick on myself too, okay? So I have the right to pick on everybody because I pick on myself too. So this is the way all of us are. Depending on your personality and what part of the Christian spectrum you are, you know, when you look at the denominations. But this is the most common things, how I see people receiving the word of God with gladness, but they have no root. The first thing, let's start with the charismatics. The first thing is they just have their hallelujah shout meeting. Somebody preaches the word and somebody just know how to preach the word. Have you ever been in churches where people just know how to preach the word? Well, please say yes. Thank you. Anyway, but have you ever been, you know, in churches, you just go like, wow, that guy can preach. You know, you're just so happy. You're just so built up. You know, it was just this wonderful experience. Praise the Lord. And people were shouting and running and hallelujah, glory to God. And the preacher was probably sweating a lot. And, you know, and it was just, oh, well, praise the Lord, glory to God. And then you're like, yeah. And you were so full of it. And you received the word of God. And you are so happy and all that. But here's the thing. Then you go home, and what do? Does it stay that way? I mean, this is the thing that pastors see when their guys go to a conference. People come back from a conference. Oh, yeah, this is what we need to do now, and this, all this. And pastors just look, and they go like, okay, I'm just going to count till 10, and this thing's just going to be gone. Because you just heard something, received it with joy, and that's it. There is no real root. This is what happens very, very often. So that's why pastors sometimes are critical when it comes to conferences. Not because they don't like conferences, but because they want people to not just go there, come back.
Okay.
You know, there has to be root in it for the word to work. So this is like the hallelujah shouters, right? I love this saying. It's not about how high you can jump when you shout hallelujah. It's about how straight you can walk when your feet hit the ground. I love hallelujah meetings, and it's wonderful. And there are certain preachers. You know, there was a time where I really needed some encouragement, and I went on YouTube, and I know exactly what kind of names I have to put in. And I don't care what topic they talk about. I just know the way they preach. I just got to, yeah, praise the Lord, glory to God. I'm just totally excited about it, you know, but that alone, that kick, that nice feeling, this, ooh, hallelujah, it is not the thing that will carry you through when tribulation comes. There has to be some root. And the Bible says these people, or these people where it is sown on the stony ground, it says that, it says they only endure for a time. My translation says, a better translation is they only endure for a season. This is something where you see something, you know, they receive the word and something actually springs up. Something comes up and you were like, well, praise the Lord, glory to God. And then the moment the season changes, the moment the weather changes, it's just all gone. And you can tell, okay, that was excitement. It wasn't the word of God that did that. It was excitement. So you're against excitement now? No, I love excitement. It's just not how we rule our what we rule our truth by, or what we live our life by. We can't just go from excitement to excitement. There comes this time where we just have to have roots. We just need to be able to walk straight. We know who we are, where we are in Christ, in the Spirit, what Jesus has done for us, and we can stand. Then we come to this point where it doesn't really matter what the doctor says. It doesn't really matter what our boss says. It doesn't really matter what our brothers and sisters tell us. We are rooted. The Bible, you know, Paul prays this too. He prays for the Ephesians, that they are rooted, and grounded, that they know the love of God. You know, there are certain things that God wants us to be rooted and grounded in. And it happens through the word. And you know what? Please receive the word of God with gladness. The Bible says, I rejoice at your word as somebody that finds great spoil. Yes, we rejoice, but we don't stay there. If that's all we do, I tell you, if all the body of Christ ever does is shout in church, we will not do what God called us to do. We will not be able to live in the blessings that God has for us. Why? Because there will be temptation and persecution and all these other things that will try to take the word away. And if all it was hallelujah, it just will not work. How do you know that, Alex? Oh. How many examples can I give in the 5 minutes that I have? I'm just going to give you my favorite one. Anybody know what happened 9/11? All right. Just in case you forgot. You know, every year they give you a little reminder on TV. But, you know, on September 11th, 2001, you know, what we saw on television was we saw all these airplanes, you know, over and over flying into towers. And Actually, before that, my wife and I were on our honeymoon. Praise the Lord. And we saw, there was a Concorde that went down over London. Was it London in the year 2000? I think it was in London? Paris? Okay. All right. Sorry. Anyway, but I was in London, and I watched it on TV, and you know, it took off, and very, very, very quickly after takeoff, you know, caught fire. Actually, before takeoff, it caught fire, but then, you know, it went down, crashed, and all this, and I saw that, and they showed these pictures over and over again, over and over, and it did something in me. It was like, okay, flying is dangerous. I don't like flying. I fear flying. The problem was I was in England and we were supposed to fly back. So far, I had flown, I think, about 10 times before. And every flight I was on was as smooth as you can imagine it. I didn't know that it can get bumpy in the air. I had no clue. It was takeoff. It was wonderful. It was just the smoothest ride you can imagine. And then you went down, and there was never one bump in 10 flights, ever. I was like, flying is awesome. Why do people have fear of flying? This is amazing. This is wonderful. So the flight back was about, it was good, but right before we landed in Germany, there was just a little bump. And there was this fear coming up in me. I'm like, what was that? And it was like, it was all over me. And starting from that point, I was afraid of flying. Fascinated by it, but afraid. So there was this time, and I told you about that, where I really wanted to go to the United States. So that was the next year. It was after 9/11. No, it actually was after that. It was after 9/11. It was 2002. So I saw the Concorde crashing, I saw all these airplanes flying into towers, I saw these pictures, and that is seed that was sown in my heart. And I received that seed. I didn't do anything to take that bad seed away, you know, I received it. So what happened is, you know, I was pretty, you know, okay, we got to the U.S., and the flight was as smooth as you can imagine. It was really cool, I loved it. The captain said, look, ladies and gentlemen, we are... Have you ever wondered why they don't think before they talk? They just go like, ladies and gentlemen, and they go like, oh, I needed to make an announcement. What do I say now? They're like, ladies and gentlemen, we just welcome you aboard our airplane. Blah, blah. And then we're expecting a smooth flight. And I'm like, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's what it was. It was the smoothest flight I could imagine. Still a little uncomfortable, but nice, nice flight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then we were at a faith conference, West Coast Believers Convention. Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar, Jesse Duplantis, and Jerry Savelle for 1 week. Yeah, praise the Lord. And wouldn't you think after that, you walk out, your spiritual muscles are like boom, boom, everywhere. You just walk out, praise the Lord. Where's the devil? Where are you? I'm going to kick your... So I felt great. And you know what? During that time, Kenneth Copeland,
yeah.
He prayed for people that are afraid of flying. So I'm like, that's me. I'm not gonna be afraid. No fear here. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Psalm 91 is for me. He has given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. He will bear me up on their hands lest I dash my foot against a stone, and I will tread on the lions and the adder, and I will trample them underfoot. Why? Because I've set my love upon him. Glory to God. He will set me securely on high. He will satisfy me with long life and show me his salvation. Glory to God. I could do it. I was so excited. It was wonderful. And the flight back was the worst flight you can imagine. It was horrible. It was really, I mean, I think it was horrible. I just remember every time I looked over at my wife, she was just sitting there with her earphones watching the movie, just. And I mean, cold sweat. And you got to this point where you don't care about people around you anymore. You just go like, hey, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I just want to. You know, so I remembered being the man of great faith and power that I was, I remembered, oh, well, it's the Word of God. So no lie, this is no exaggeration. I took my Bible out. No lie. Part of it was the airplane, part of it was me. And it was one of these things where they told the flight attendants to sit down and buckle their seatbelts. And you could, you know, they had to open all the curtains. And then you could see them looking at each other like. And when the flight attendants look at each other like, you know something's up. So, and the captain on the way back was one of these. He didn't explain, oh, ladies and gentlemen, we're flying through a little bit of a rough patch. So don't worry. It was just fasten your seatbelts. Like, oh, God. You know, anyway. So I was trying to get to my Bible. I could not turn to Psalm 91. The problem was I needed Psalm 91. The problem was Psalm 91 was here and not here. And if Psalm 91 had been here, I wouldn't have come like. But that was the problem. So I learned, okay, this is great. The Word of God got sown into my heart. This is wonderful. Praise the Lord. We had a great time. Hallelujah. But that's not what helps you. Now you have to water that seed. You have to cultivate that seed. You have to do something. Why? Because otherwise, the next time something hits, the next time the turbulence of life comes, you need something in your heart and not in this book. This book is great. It's wonderful. But you know what? There will be a time where, you know, there will be a time where you need the Word and conveniently the battery of your phone is dead. And there will be a time where you need this Word and you either are too shaky to read it or whatever. But there will be a time where you can't really get to something like this. And then it shows, is it here? Is it in your heart? Do you have it on the inside of you? Did you allow it to grow deep roots that even the devil cannot take away? And this is one of the reasons why we are so heavy on this is important. It's important to know what the Word says. It's why we call it Word Fest. It's because we want to give the Word of God the proper place in our life because we know it will produce what Jesus said it will produce. Amen? Amen. All right. So we want to take some time to praise the Lord before our brothers and sisters come in for some fellowship. But I'm thankful for that. Isn't that amazing that, praise the Lord, you will live and not die. But isn't it amazing that Jesus has given us something and he says, listen, if you want your spiritual life to just work automatically, you just want to enjoy the blessings of God just automatically in your life, there is something you can do to make this happen. And the way is not to beat yourself up every day. I'm such a bad Christian. I need to do more of this. I need to do more of that. No, the only thing you need to do is you need to sow the Word in your heart. You sow it and you sow it and you sow it and you will see change. Change that God is affecting in your life. But it doesn't happen like this. It happens that you abide in his word. Jesus said, you stay in this, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen? Amen. All right, let's all stand. Amen. I'm sorry, I forgot something earlier. And I'm sorry, I can't be really more specific. I don't know if it was this service or the next service, so I could miss it by a mile, but here it comes. Do we have anyone here, you have severe problems, not just a little bit, severe problems in either your hip or your knee or in between? This is what I was, you know, this is what I got. It's like it is something that has to do with your femur. It is either hip or knee or in between, somewhere there. Do if anyone here, you say, I have severe problems in that area, and I have been struggling with this for a while. As I said, you don't have to, okay, very good. Is it okay for you if we pray for you? Yeah? All right. Would you come up or would you prefer to stay in your seat, whatever you want? Okay, just come up here. All right. And we're all praying together. Jesus said they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to pray for you. And God is good. Praise the Lord. All right. Father, we thank you for your brothers, for our brothers and sisters, and we stand together with them. And we thank you for your word. Your word says that you took our sins and you took our sicknesses. You were made sin with our sin and you were made sick with our sicknesses. So in the name of Jesus, I proclaim over these lives, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. And we speak to this problem. We speak to this problem in the bone or in the joint or whatever it is. We speak to it in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be restored in Jesus' name. You're healed and whole from the top of your head to the soles of your feet in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you. Praise the Lord. All right. Praise God. All right. That's good. God is good. Amen. Amen. And remember, you know, when we receive things, we receive it with gladness, but we don't just stay there, right? It is not just, oh, okay, they prayed for me, and now let's see if it worked. No, no, no. Let's stay with it. The devil will try to take that away. The devil will come and try. Now, nothing happened. That was just a nice thing in the service. Everybody got excited. No, stand against that. Resist. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. This is another one of these scriptures. You don't need a theological degree for it. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. You don't need to study it. You don't need to have a degree. You resist the devil and he will flee. Amen? Amen. All right, we need to close the service. If you are here and you have never received Jesus in your life as your Lord and Savior, I just would love for you to come up here and we will pray with you too. We will close the service. There will be a lot of people walking this way. But if you have a prayer request, you want to get to know Jesus, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you want agreement in prayer, we have some people up here that would love to pray with you because God is good. Amen. All the time. All right, I know our German brothers and sisters are waiting outside these doors to come in and have some fellowship, so let's not let them wait any longer. God bless you, have a great Sunday, and see you Wednesday or Sunday.